Okay, y'all probably getting tired of hearing this because this is the third time you've heard it. What are we doing? Traveling. We're traveling. We're on a journey, whether you want to or not. You know, you're on a journey. Where are we going? No, we're going on a trip around the sun. You know, we've been on this journey, let's see, 192 days so far. A little more than halfway, you know, around the sun. You know, Psalm 90, verse 12 is our anchor verse. You know, keep us in place. Keep us in place with God. Our anchor verse, teach us to number our days. Number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. 192 days. Okay, I may have this wrong or right. 174 days to go this year. We've already traveled 307 million miles. You believe that? 67,000 miles an hour. You're moving right now. 67,000 miles an hour. Can you imagine that? That right at this very second, the whole planet, whole earth, is moving 67,000 miles an hour. And yet, here we are, being able to sit here, to walk in, walk out, do anything and everything we want to. And only why? God. The power of God. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We're on a trip. You know, and when who's taken a journey, a trip lately? Where'd you go?
Muscle Shoals.
Where?
Muscle Shoals.
But Muscle Shoals. Did you plan it? Did you plan all your activities and everything? Just played it by ear. Do you think we ought to play this journey that we're on by ear? Huh? No. You know, why? You know, what's the one thing that you want, you know, on this journey, this trip, that you really should be wanting to happen more than anything else? Huh? A Bible, but a closer walk with God. More than anything else on this trip, you should want to be having a closer walk with God to happen. Is there anything in your life right now that you would like to change, or anything right now that when you get 174 days down the road, you could... Oh, sun coming through there. 174 days down the road to December 31st, that you can look back and say, I wish I had changed that. Or I'm glad I changed that. Is there anything in your life right now that you might want to do that to make the most out of the days left in this journey? Of all the things that could happen on a journey, on a trip, especially this trip. Like I said, I hope that you won't. It's a closer walk with God. But you know, when I was talking to the kids, every morning when you get up, even, you know, before your feet hit the floor, do you thank God? Do you thank God that you can open your eyes one more time when your feet hit the floor, that you can stand up, you know, one more time? In the verse that was read, you know, Jesus is saying, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and who? And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That Jesus is saying, eternal life does not start when you see the pearly gates. We hope everybody sees them. Eternal life starts here today. Eternal life starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ today and every day. Now, when Jesus was saying this, the word, he said that, no, we could say, oh, because you know something, you know, intellectually. But Jesus was saying, when you know, when you have a personal relationship with God, when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I say personal, I mean personal. That you know him. And how do you know somebody? You spend time with them. You know, you walk with them. You know, and I hope, I pray that every one of you has that relationship with Jesus today. And if you don't, you may or may not be able to realize the fullness of that relationship by 5:30 this afternoon or by midnight tonight, but you may. But it starts, or should have started, this morning when you open your eyes. But it's never too late. You have 174 days, people, to make that relationship work. You know, we can accomplish all kind of things on this journey. Put all kind of diplomas on our wall. Build the biggest houses, buy cars, trucks, boats, planes, you know, everything. You know, have big old bank accounts. Do all these things. But what is any of that without Jesus Christ? Without a relationship with Jesus? Genesis chapter 5 is a chapter of generations. The subtitle in my Bible over chapter 5 is Adam to Noah. You know, and if you look at that, you know, it's everybody. Verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Now, that right there, why did God make man in his likeness? What's that telling us? Huh? Yes. God made you in his likeness because for one reason, he wants a relationship with you. And it says, God is love. Can you have love if you're just by yourself? You know, if you live on an island by yourself, nobody else around, can it be said of you that you are love? You don't have it. You don't have anybody to love. You love yourself. You love the coconuts, the papayas, the mangoes, you know, whatever. But it says God is love. Why? Because God exists in three persons. Father, Son, Spirit. God is love because they love each other. That is love. Three in one, one in three. God is love. And he made you, created you in his image out of love to have a relationship with you. Going back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. Male and female, he created them and he blessed them. And he named them man when they were created. He made them male and female. Then verse 15, you know, it starts going through all the ages of these people. Adam lived 930 years. Zeph, 912. Enos, 905. Canaan, 910. Mahaliel, 895 years. He must have had high cholesterol and drank a lot. And then Noah, 950 years. But every one of them, you know, these men, they're going along, and some of them have, you know, the high mark of their life, you know, the crowning thing of their life. It says some of them at 60 years old, they had their first son. And it named the son. And then it says, you know, they had other sons and daughters, you know, and they, you know, and then they lived so many years, then they died. But the high mark of their life was to have that first son. But, you know, it said Mahaliel, 895 years. Anybody imagine? You close to that, Mr. No. Benny? Huh? Can you imagine 895 years and somebody coming to your memorial or funeral service and saying, oh, poor thing, cut down in the prime of life. Huh? 895 years. Yeah. Then verse 23. Genesis chapter 5, verse 23. Well, 22. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. 365 years Enoch walked with God, and then God took him. Half of what everybody else was living. You know, and I have talked to so many people this week, you know, looked up, Googled, you know, Bible, you know, everything. Okay, why did God take him? You know, what does that mean? You know, did he just die or did God just take him? You know, I even had one man tell me, I said, oh gosh. One man tell me, you know, that Aaron, he took him, you know, because he was prone to sin. So God took him before he sinned again. You know, I'm thinking, where did you get that from? You know, I don't see that anywhere in here. But everything I came up with, when it said God took him, why? Because he walked faithfully with God. He walked with God. You know, a lot of times, if you want to answer something in the Bible, look in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken that he should not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That God took him. And if you go to the book of Jude, you know, and somebody brought up, we need to do a Bible study on Jude. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied. Enoch prophesied, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. So Enoch saw into the future. He saw the second coming of Jesus Christ. And God took him. And the word took as if he did not even exist. Did not see death. God took him. Why? Because he pleased God. Because he walked with God. Is there any better statement that can be made at somebody's funeral than to say she walked with God? Isn't that something to be said? No matter how many years, if you live 365 or 930, or how many years, Mr. Benny?
91.
Miss Jamie, 95 years. They walked with God. Is there any better thing to have on this trip around the sun than to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and be said that you walked with God? God walked in the cool of the garden. And then another time, God walked in a garden where the stone had been rolled away. So you and I and the world could walk with him. When he lay down on that cross and they put the nails in his hands and in his feet, the invitation went out. And the invitation is on the table today. Invitation is on the table every day. Come and walk with me. Come walk by my side. I created you in my image. And I want a relationship with you. And I want to walk with you. Today and every day. No matter how old you are now. No matter how many days you have on this planet Earth. So 174 days left in this year. And a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God, is just not, it's not a nod. It's not a thank you, God, be on my way. Jesus told a parable about the supper that was made, and he sent a slave out to invite everybody. Everybody had excuses. I can't come. You know, I bought a field, can't come. You know, I just got married. You know, I can't come, I bought oxen. All excuses. You know, and the sad part about it is still going on today. Look at the empty seats. One of the Beatles, and who said it, Lexi?
John
Lennon. Many, many years ago, said if they played across the street from a church, there'd be more people at their concert than the church. And you look at it today, Sunday, football stadiums, baseball fields, soccer fields, everything else. More people there than our church. If we put ourselves first and not God, not Jesus. More than just a nod, more than just saying thank you. Just like I asked the kids, how many times do you pray a day? How many times do you read your Bible? Yeah. Just to pick up a Bible, spend 5 minutes in it and read. But then to write down what God tells you. Did he tell you anything? Well, write down. You didn't tell me anything today, God. Why? To spend time with God. Talk to him and let him talk to you. You know, one of the hardest things, but one of the most enjoyable things for me is contemplative prayer. You know what that means? Sitting still and not saying nothing. That's hard. Sit still, not saying a word, and listen for God. You know, there's times I sit still. For 10 minutes, I look at my watch. I think I'm there an hour. There's other times I just get lost. Be sitting there for 45 minutes and not even know it feels like 5 minutes. To let God talk to you. You know, sometimes we have to shut this up. Our mind going 90 miles an hour through so many things. But to give God more than just a nod, more than just a thank you, more than just, hey, maybe later today if I can fit you in. To walk with God. Do you want that to be said of you? He walked with God. She walked with God. What better thing could be said than that? Amen.
In how many ways have he blessed us?
Sir?
In how many ways has he blessed us?
Oh, too many to count. You got shoes on your feet, socks on your feet. I want to say something else, but I won't. Underwear on, I hope.
Yeah.
You're blessed.
Right.
Let us pray. Most holy God, we give you thanks for this day. Lord God, I pray this day and every day we walk with you. We take the time out of our day, Lord God, to ask you, come walk with me. Or say, Lord God, I want to walk beside you. I want to feel your hand on my shoulder. I want to feel you beside me. I want your leading. I want your guidance in my life this day and every day. Lord God, be with me. In your Son's holy and life-giving name, amen.